You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. On the phone line with us, he's headed towards Texas, but Texas A&M is my guess at this point, is Dan Swicker at CGB Enterprises. He's usually out of Mandeville, Louisiana, pulled over somewhere on I-10, I suspect. Maybe in Louisiana still this afternoon. I saw you this morning, Dan, on your video cast from CGB up on YouTube wearing your Texas A&M shirt. Didn't make me very happy. I like the Tuesday color better, which was orange, by the way.
Well, we're kind of down from losing last week, but Alabama didn't meet the point spread, so all of us Aggie fans got paid in cash only this week.
Well, that's it.
So we're going to spend that cash only this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Hey, another thing that looks good, at least at this point, and you can tell me, when I watched you this morning on your YouTube video from CGB, and people, I think, can they just search for CGB, or they search for CGB and Dan Swicker, one of the two? You were talking about maybe finishing the week out in corn with a second outside up for the weekly trade. Do you think that's very likely to happen for the December contract?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be an outside up, but we're in good shape to have a hook reversal up. We closed right at last week's close here today. I think last week we closed at 59, and we finished the day out here at 59.5. So if we could show some follow-through tomorrow on corn and close above this 460, 461, that would then score that what I would call as a weekly reversal to the upside, which would go along with the weekly reversal up that we had there after the August crop report in middle August. And this week's low held above that low. So then chart types will begin to visualize that the overall trend shift is maybe shifting to something sideways to higher, because you do have a line that you can draw from the August low to the September low, and then you can draw a parallel line and connect it to the high that we had here a couple weeks ago up around this 508 area. So then we would have a channel anyway that traders could or technicians would watch for. So that's kind of what I'm looking at from a technical point of view. Most of the crash in the prices has been done with basis, the transition from a very tight old crop situation to a more plentiful new crop situation. So the futures don't necessarily have to go down. I mean, I think the basis basically did that from going from a premium basis down to maybe an option basis to even under the December futures, depend upon you know, how close you are to a processing plant.
You think that the sideways channel, but it's about a, 65 to 70 cent trading range from, as you said, up on the top side at 508 and on the bottom side are down around $4.45 or thereabouts, can hold for very long?
I'm in the opinion it can. Confirmation, I think. I do want to see some good, strong closes above this 474 area. That's going to be a big hurdle to get above. But once you do that, then I think then you're really keyed up then to take out the 508 high, which would put you somewhere in the 510s. Now, at that point, that would be at the top end of this sideways to higher channel, and that would probably offer a lot of resistance or, you know, we're going to have resistance all the way up, but I think the you know, best ever yields talk is behind us. I mean, that came out of the Ohio River Valley, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio. Those were just best ever yields, just fantastic yields. We had strong yields out of the Mississippi, Arkansas area. Now, as we move north and as we move west, I think you're going to begin to hear more modest yields. I know Central Illinois is pulling down some good, strong yields in this 180 to 200, some pop above the 210, 220 area, but most of them, I think, are being caught somewhere in between 180 and 200. And I think as you get into the later corn, the yields are going to fall off. So I think trade talk about best ever yields and record yields and all that is probably behind us. I think the acreage report that does imply that USDA is going to have to whack harvested acres on both corn and soybeans. To what extent, that's up for debate. Everybody's got an opinion on that. But it looks to me like you could begin to argue that the largest supply has been talked about, and now supplies are beginning to shrink. And when supplies shrink, prices have to reflect a smaller supply by moving higher. So that's my speculation, at least at this point.
Okay, so a couple of other things. Are you thinking the cut in acreage will drop us 100 million, 200, or 300 million? And then is the export market stronger for corn than expected?
No, the export market's going to be pretty weak for a while. We just got too much South American corn and Black Sea corn that's available to world inventories. But the thing that we got to keep in mind is that we got to look toward the future, and the future is the corn soybean ratio is going to encourage larger soybean plantings in the southern hemisphere. It looks like we've made a major low, I think, in the wheat market. The export sales in wheat are very, very strong. And I think wheat is going to begin to now start gaining on corn. Soybeans have already gained on corn. I think if wheat starts going, then wheat then begins to price itself out of the feed rations. And then all of a sudden, the fundamentals down the road are a little more price constructive, and of course we don't know what South American weather is going to be all about yet either. So, it's a struggle. I don't want to give any impression that the corn market's a big bull in here. I'm just kind of pointing out that I think maybe the worst of the bearishness, for now anyway, is behind us. The Federal Reserve Board is going to continue pumping, and I think that tells you that there'll never be a good time to taper. And then if Bernanke is replaced by Yellen, which is another Ivy League-educated economics professor from Berkeley, my guess is that she's going to be very easy on monetary policy. So I think, you know, we're kind of back into the 70s area, where the Federal Reserve Board just kept printing money, and then all of a sudden inflation begins to take off. And you saw that begin to take hold in all the commodities here today. Gold is already $90 off yesterday's low. So I think maybe if the Fed's going to continue to print money forever here, then I think that's going to maybe bring back more money or more interest in owning commodities, and maybe we have another run in commodities.
Hey, thanks much, and have fun at the Aggie game.
Sure will.
Okay, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana.